morning, Psalm 100 is a psalm that says, "Shout to the joy, or shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture." So you, I think, in certain contexts, you wouldn't like it when people call you sheep. I think when you are in the corporate world and you've got this team meeting and they call you a sheep, you will definitely don't like it, and you will, I think, apply for some other job. But in this context, it's quite fine to be called a sheep, because the context is we are part of this pasture of Jesus Christ, and He is the shepherd, and He is the one that died for His sheep, and He's leading His sheep, and therefore we submit as His children, and we allow Him to call us His sheep, and we will listen to His voice, and we will follow Him. And therefore I greet you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the shepherd. We are the sheep, and therefore we do have peace because of Him. Amen. Right, let's sing again. This time we should stand and sing hymn 11, and we sing two verses thereof. Let's join in worship. "Praise my soul, the King of heaven." Let's sing it together. Jose, would you please reverse to the first verse? Those words are really, I think, significant for us as God's children. Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. I think if you want to get a sticker at the back of your car, I think that should be a good one. And obviously hopefully your driving style will reflect that. But point is this: ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. I think while I mentioned driving, it seems like it's a national disaster how people drive in this country, and I think we should make it a part of our prayers and our prayer list to pray for what is going on in the streets. And you can't even rely on the police. I've seen the police driving this week, especially, absolute example of total chaos. But for us, it's not to blame others. It's to do what we need to do. You know the law. Stick to it. I mean, that is part of order. So let's pray for what is going on. But it starts with us, how we are going to drive, also during this time of the year. Right, thank you. I've got this picture. They tell me this is one of the oldest pictures ever. No, it's not true. No, it's not. That's just a picture. It's just not a photo of the story of the Tower of Babel. That is where we are this morning. And some people, some theologians and some academics say Well, it's not really a mystical sort of story. It's not really a real true story. And a fable, yes. But in this fable then, if it's true, there is so many meaning and so many things that we should learn. And this is where we are. You will find it in Genesis 11. In Genesis 11, you hear this story, and it's from verse 1, and we will read some of it this morning together. It's a little story. It's an interesting where it fits in the Bible. It is just after the big flood, and then there was this new nations being formed, the sons of Noah. And then a table of nations and so on. And then the Tower of Babel. And just after that, there's again a family line of many, many people. And then the story of Abram. So it fits in there. So it's just a little short story. And we will spend some time and try to understand what it means. Let's pray. Father God, here we are today. And we are in your presence, and thank you for being here. Thank you for overwhelming us with your presence and your Holy Spirit, and guiding us and leading us, and just comfort us as your children. And yes, Father, it's fine if you call us your sheep this morning, and we are part of your pasture, and you lead us to the wonderful peace moments, and thank you for that. Thank you for this congregation, and thank you for people here and the sheep with us. And thank you when we speak about sheep that we sing this morning about the old rugged cross, we are so aware of the Lamb who was slain for us to be redeemed and to be saved, and thank you for that. And therefore, all the honor and praises that we can give, we give to you. We honor you as our God and Father. And this morning we are going to spend some time in a very difficult and a very old story that some people even doubt was a true story in the Bible. We come to you and ask that you will guide us and lead us into understanding, so that we can apply it and so that we can be aware and be mindful of what it means. So help us, and help us to grow, and we pray this morning for each other. And thank you for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Right, here it is. You will find it in the heading is the Tower of Babel, and you will see it in verse 1. Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As people moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, "Come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. I believe there are some different translations about this, but in my Bible it says, brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth." But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. The Lord said, If as one people speaking the same language as they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be possible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language, so they will not understand each other. So the Lord scattered them from there over all all the earth. And they stopped building the city. That is why it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. So, a few verses, 9 verses, explaining something in the past, and it seems to me that it is an important moment in the Bible. Right. Let me try to explain. The story, I mean, it's quite a while that I was still trying to understand, and what's going on here? Why is this in the Bible? Why should we know this? And I wrestled with it, and I thought, okay, maybe today. Today is the day to try to say something about it. So again, I've said it. In the beginning, God order. The creation is, you see the order of God in creation. He did order things. I mean, he divided things and ordered them, sea and land and so on, and light and darkness and everything. And then there was disruption again in the world. And when we look at the content here, it is a story of people and the names of people. It's a line of people that are developing, and he is ordering these people again. You see the order, the sons of this person and the sons of this person and so on. And then we read the story of the Tower of Babel. Now the concept, the Tower of Babel, doesn't exist in the Bible, not even in this original text. It is a city with a tower. So we created that thing for ourselves, but it doesn't exist, the Tower of Babel. But that doesn't matter. I mean, it's just a thing. It's a city with a tower, and it's in a high tower that reaches, well, the end of the skies. I think one of the translations says. Now, just to give you some sort of an idea, so that is just an image that someone thought it might have looked like. But the highest building in the world, I think there is a picture. It's massive. It is in Dubai. It is a Burj Khalifa. It is 828 meters high. It's quite high. It took 5 years to build it. In that stage, it cost $1.5 billion to construct. It's massive. But just to give you some sort of idea, the Genesis does not explain or specify the tower's height. There's just this phrase that says that reaches to the heavens. But one of the older books, the book of Jubilees, well, if it's true or not, obviously, it cannot be proved. But according to them, it says, this building, this tower, was 5,433 cubits and 2 palms. So in our language, it means 2,484 meters, according to them now. According to them, so whatever it was, so it was 3 times the height of that building. So what is it? So the height isn't that important. I mean, it's just to understand it must have been huge. And then I think in that stage of the world and development, it must have been just an impressive sort of construction project. And the motivation thereof is important. The motivation was human pride. Human pride, I think, was the motivation of it all. Well, it says so. And during that time, everyone in the world shared one language, and to worship God and to obey God, and that is what it was. And now they use the same language to divide. And to and to honor themselves. That is what happened. They use the same language, supposed to honor God, to focus on themselves, and to make a name for themselves, it says in verse 4. So I've said it a few times in the last few sermons and even in that the carol service last week, that God uses geopolitical concepts in the Bible, location pins, with a reason. And sometimes we read the name and we think, why is that name in the Bible? So it's the same thing here. They say, if it says, they moved to a plain in Shinar. What is that? Why is that important? Why is it in the Bible? They struggle to find this place in the Bible. There are so many opinions of where it is. But at least it's in some place in the world. And the question is, so what? Now, Shinar is where Babylon ends up to be. Babel. With that was the capital. So, okay. So, Shinar is where Babylon was, and the capital was Babel. So, what? Why is that important? Why is that geopolitical location that important? So, let me try to explain. From this point on in the Bible, the concept Babel signifies and is a metaphor of destruction, a symbol of evil and evil power. That is what it is. I do not have the time to give you a whole analysis of everything in the Bible, but I will show you at least a few moments of how it is and how it ended up. In Revelations, here we are in the beginning of the Bible, and when you go back to the almost last chapters in the Bible, you will see again this reflection and this metaphor and all about Babel again, Babylon, the fall of Babylon. So it runs right through the Bible, Babylon. It signifies human pride, corruption, and rebellion against God. So this is it. It draws the Tower of Babel and the whole story. It says, but there are worldly powers, there are systems opposing God and God's authority, right through the Bible. So this location, this geopolitical point on the map, says something about God's work, and how, it's not accidental that is there. It's specific. It is with a reason. So, and then, in one of the big moments in the history of Israel was when Jerusalem was destroyed in 586 before Christ, and Israel was taken into exile. Where? Babylon again. So I will come back to that. So why is this important? Because so many of the prophets in the Bible, the Old Testament prophets, that message just comes from about the exile of post and pre-exile, but they spoke about the exile. So all of them, most of them, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel's story is in exile. It is a story of that king. It's a Babylonian king. And so you can go on. Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, those people prophesied in that stage of the history of Israel. So what happened here is, I think it's interesting just to see, there's a specific reference of the building methods. They said, in the beginning, they began to use bricks. So you can, there's some development that took place during this time, a new technique of building. new building materials. So they develop, technology, I can say. So there was a new industry, new engineering options, and they built the thing. It's interesting when they built this city, it says the Hebrew word is bana. It's to build something. But when people build something, it is bana. When God creates something, it is bara. Because only God can create out of nothing, that is bara. But when you build something with something, it is bana. And so it's interesting. When God created world, Bereshit is his first word in the Bible. So Genesis in the Hebrew word, Genesis in Hebrew is Bereshit. But the word bara is in there. It is the creation. It is God built out of nothing. But when he built, he built a woman for Adam. He built her out of something. So that is bana. So he bara the creation, but he bana the woman. But it's not banana. It is just bana. Right, so this is it. It's just something. God is the only one that can create out of nothing. People, human beings, were built with something. Okay. And I think what people try to do here is the arrogance of trying to tamper with God. If you understand Afrikaans, I'm going to say this. Hulle bou 'n toring om met God te torm. If you understand, forgive me for others that don't understand it. But you try to influence God in a certain way. That is, something of this is happening here. And the irony is, when they build the highest thing in the world at that stage, what does God do? He came down. He came down. That's the irony in the text. You will never reach the heights where God is. And again, he uses he says, let's go down. Don't tamper with God. So this is a typical thing that you find in those old stories where God speaks to himself. You see Job and so on. And he says, what's going on with these people? And you can, in a certain sense, hear the thinking systems of God. Let us go off. Go down. Let us go down to these people. Go down. It's the plural form of God. And go down. And what should we do? We bring confusion. Balal. Confuse. To mix up. So you can see something that the source is the same root of the word. Babel and Balal is confused. Let's bring confusion. You know, something baffled me. Just I was sitting here in silence this morning and I realized that word baffle. We use it as young people. Something baffled me. I'm baffled. It's the same word, Babel. I don't know, but that is what it is. But because you can, the B sound in Hebrew can also be a V sound. It's just a little dot that you put in. So it's, Babel can be baffled. Baffled. I'm baffled. I'm confused. I'm not sure what's going on. So it's interesting. So Baal is confused. This Babel means confusion. You know what is babbling when people are just babbling? You know what is a synonym for babbling? It's Twitter. It is a synonym for babbling. It's Twitter. It's confusing languages. You can say what you want. Twitter. Confusion. You know what? So in Genesis 1, God creates order. Then there's this, Noah built this ark, and God ordered him. I mean, if you can go and read that specific engineering project, I mean, you can find this absolute specifics of how he built it. And I think there's some ratio of how he built the ark, and I think many modern ships are still being built on that ratio of height and length and something like that. I'm not an engineer, but there's something like that. And then he organized generations, the people, the offsprings, and then all of a sudden, there are disorder again. In this process, there are Twitter, there are babbling, there are baffled confusion. That is what it is. And he says, so, that is why it was called Bible. Now there's a footnote, it means confused. From there on, there were confusion. Okay, that is what it says. And that confusion runs right through the Bible. And in the end, in Revelation 18, you will read the fall of Babylon. And just after the fall of Babylon, the fall of confusion. That's the same thing. The fall of Babylon. Then there's chapter 19 in Revelation begins, the joy in heaven. So the joy in heaven starts just after the fall of Babylon. So that is why I thought maybe I should say something about it this morning. Because we hear these words, we see the things, but we do not realize how important it is running right through the Word of God. So God ensures that this project is halted. He brings confusion into their language so that no one understands one another and the whole story. But there's this urge in humans from the beginning. I mean, we are just in the 11th chapter of the Bible. It's not even started. And what we see is the arrogance of human beings. The self-directedness of them. And what God wants to do is he wants to save human beings from themselves, from their arrogance. And therefore everything is confused. Let me tell you something else. The word tower in Hebrew is migdal. And the word migdal also, it can be translated, and it is being translated as podium or rostrum. So you win something and you put yourself on a rostrum, on a podium. It's just, you know, look who is the winner. 1, 2, and 3. But these days what I see, what people do is, when you are on that rostrum, you get the medal and so on, but there's something else they do. They give you a bunch of flowers. You know what that word in Hebrew means? A bouquet of flowers. That's just interesting. I don't say it's directly linked, but it's just interesting. Why don't you give someone a Toblerone chocolate? But flowers. I mean, a chocolate at least you can eat. What can you do with flowers? I don't know. But you understand? It's just, I don't know if it's linked, but it is just something that we see is happening. So the builders of Babel use the gift of language, and they are disobedient against God. They use the language to be disobedient. Why is that the problem, really? Because what happened was in the beginning, is that the God says, go into this world. Go and be nations and create nations. That is what you need to do. In Psalm 35:28, it says, my tongue will proclaim your righteousness, your praises all the day. So that is, welcome, be seated. And so your tongue is to all the nations. So the Tower of Babel, the concept of Babel, runs right through Scripture again. Confusion. That is what it is. they call it also, there are a lot of words that they use these days. It says a polyphony. Polyphony is a massive amount of sounds and voices, and we got distracted by all the voices. What are we going to hear? Fragmentation. It is dividing and breaking everything out of the order. There is the tower of division that they speak of. They speak of a global noise. Digital Babel is something that they know. Multiplicity. There are a lot of concepts that they use to explain this diversion and chaos in the world. And I just want to show you a few of things. And you can go and look at your babbling at Twitter, babbling, your Babel thing, with all the noises. You can go and you can Google it. Disney is busy creating a new movie, a short film movie called Versa. And they criticize Disney for going back to traditional values. You can go and read it. Versa, you can go ahead. I can read it. I quoted it. Disney's newest short film, Versa, has sparked controversy for what critics call a return to traditional family values. I quoted it. There it is. You can go and read it. What? Isn't that but chaotic? Isn't it confusing? Let me show you a few slides. I will quickly. That Christian teacher jailed, indefinitely, was not really because of what he believed, but something else. In Ireland, for refusing to deny God's creation of male and female. You can go and read his story. I found it. I double-checked it. Yeah, you can go. Use some of your... A preacher handcuffed, banned for bus terminal sharing his faith. What is going on? What's going on? There's another one. It is in France, a parade of the demonic figures of Lilith and Baal and satanic parade through occultism. It's stuff that happens. I don't say it's right or wrong. You can believe whatever you want to. But it's confusing. It's confusing. It is babble. It is babbling. We don't understand what is really going on in terms of what we should do in this world. Let me explain further. I've spent some time in about King Hezekiah, the last few Bible studies and so on. But let me tell you something about just a story that we read in the Bible. 2 Kings verse 17. 2 Kings 17. What happened there is, Israel was divided in two countries, but what happened is, in the north was Israel, in the south was Judah. And what they did was, Babylonia, sent immigrants to Israel. You can go and read that. You can go and read it. And what happened? Confusion. It is a very interesting story. So they said, but these people are not honoring God. So then they decided, okay, let's order a priest to teach them how to honor God, these foreigners, these immigrants in Israel. Honestly, it's really in the Bible. You can go and read it. In the Afrikaans Bible, it says, die immigrante. It came. They came. They taught them how to honor God. They rejected all. What then? Chaos. Even offering children. It was horrible. Disorder. So you see the line of Babel right through the Bible. The chaos, the arrogance, the immigrants took over. It sounds familiar, isn't it? And said they didn't know how to worship God. And he taught them how they should worship God there in verse 28 in that chapter. Chaos and confusion, Babel, baffling. They were baffled. Again. So, Hezekiah became king. He destroyed all the different gods and all the worships and all the stuff of the pagan gods. And in the end of his life, 3 chapters later, in 2 Kings 20, you read it again. A whole envoy of Babylonia come to visit Israel, Hizkiah. What he did was, in that moment, and no one, what was he doing? And it was, you can go and read there in 2 Kings 20, verse 12, it says, at that time, King the name Bala is confusion. So King Confusion, the confused king, how do you say it? He sent his envoy to meet with Hizkiah, with letters, with gifts. And what Hizkiah did was, he took those people of Babylon into the temple, into all the deepest part of the country, and showed them everything, the riches of the country. And when the prophet Isaiah heard the story, he was very, very angry. He said, you know what you did? This is a prophecy that this country and everything that you showed them will be taken away in future to Babylon. You will go in exile to Babylon again. You see how it runs right through the Bible? If you know about King Nebuchadnezzar and that tower he built, statue of himself, Babylon. You know that text in the Bible of Belshazzar and the writing against the wall? Babylon. It's all about Babylon. So they took them away to Babylon. So what is this confusion? What is I think the first thing is self-glorification. That is what it is. It's all about you. Glorify yourself. You are the most important person. It's not about God. It's all about you. I remember once they gave us at seminary an assignment about Psalm 8. And Psalm 8 is, oh, how wonderful are we, God, and what is the human being? And I can't remember what it is in English, but it's something like that. And the assignment was, what is the central and the focal point of Psalm 8? And most of us as students said, it's a human being. And it was a test from the professor, and he said, you all failed. It's about God. It's about God. The psalm is about God. And we missed the point. And this is, I think, what happens here. I mean, it's self-glorification, and the second one is a resistance of God's mandate, of who God is, and God's order, and God's rule, and God's law, and what God tells us to do. It's all about ourselves. Self. But we know what happens. Self-glorification ends up in self-defeating lifestyles. And this is the whole thing of humanity, our attempts to glorify ourselves apart from God. And if it happens, we fail. It's a failure. The Tower of Babel just signifies this, illustrates the rebellion against God and His mandate. And it is not going to work. It sounds nice. It's fine. You can take photos of it. And you can celebrate it, but it's not going to work at all. So in verse 4, you can find the two motives. The one is to make a name for themselves, and the second one is to avoid being scattered. It's all about ourselves and what we can do and how we can develop. While God said, go into this world. Go. And be blessed. So their efforts, how ambitious it might be, and were doomed from the beginning. Even their technology, they developed technology using new sort of materials. Not even that could save them. Not even that. Nothing. Nothing. You know what the archaeologists try to do is they try to find this building, the rest of it. But they cannot find it. My prediction is why? You will not find it. Because when God destroyed, He will even destroy the evidence. But this is it. Self-glorification. the people of Shinar, they want to make a name for themselves. Doomed. And it stands in a stark contrast with Abram. The calling of Abram is in chapter 12. This humble person. Humble. Listening to God. Following God's instructions. God says, go. Go to a different country. Leave your country. Go. And he listens. Obedience. So if you read about Abram, these people, they want to glorify themselves. Abram want to glorify God. You can read it there. And all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. It says in chapter 12. It's not about us. It's about God. So these people directly opposed God's ordinance in creation. Go out. Be nations. I want to say, Babel represents humanity's rebellion against God. Self-made glory and ignorance towards God's purposes into this world. And over we'll see it right through the Bible. Right through the Bible. And it says, if it's without God, it cannot sustain. It will die. There's no future without God. With your greatest, best plans, it's not going to work. I mean, in this world where order is falling apart, where the significant truth is just not important anymore, where we are trying to live without principles and values, it's chaos. It's Babel. It's Babylonian. It's confusion. It's rejection. It's chaos. That is what is happening. And what is happening here is people really want meaning. People really want to be happy. People really want to develop. Nothing wrong with it. They want contentment. They want satisfaction. But you cannot do it on your own. You cannot do it without God. So right through this is what happens when people are relying on themselves. You are basically just not going to make it. We do have the new calendar for next year. You know, and that is the picture on the calendar, and about the meerkats. And this meerkats, it's just wonderful. If you want to know more about meerkats, go and YouTube them. And it's in family. They are always a close family, but always on alert. Extremely. What is that? Awake of what is happening around them. Extremely aware of the dangers around them, but a very close family. And based on what we have read and what we have listened to this morning about Babel, is that we as a congregation will be like a meerkata, just to be together, but awake and aware and mindful of what is going on around us in this world. So I could have done more studies about it, but we will run out of time. So Babel and babbling and twittering and all these noises can be very confusing. But we do have the direction. We do have the commands. We do know what we really should do. Here it is. Let's be very aware of what is going on around us in the world. And let's pray for that as well. Let's pray for God's order and God's word and his children to follow him. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your directions. And thank you for your order. Thank you for your creation. And thank you for the fact that you are still creating us. You are still busy with us. You are still busy forming us. You are still busy guiding us to understand more and to be vigilant and to be aware and mindful of this world that we are in. Father, we pray that you will be our center focus, our everything, our all in all. Because without you, we tend to fail. over and over again. Even with our best engineering, with our best techniques and whatever we might have in the developed world, we cannot without you succeed. We cannot being satisfied. We cannot be saved. We cannot be guided through Starlink or whatever it might be, because you are the one guiding us every single day through your Holy Spirit, and we thank you for that. Thank you for a congregation. We thank you for what we can do. Thank you for our calling. But again, we ask you to help us to endure, to have patience, to love one another, to care for one another, to spend some time with one another, studying your word, busy knowing you better. We pray that you will bless us also during this holiday time. And Father, like we have said in the beginning, we are so extremely concerned about road safety in our country. We ask that you will give us the discipline to drive according to your law and the law of this country, but yet again, to keep us safe from every other evil things on roads. It is like a war in this country, how people die due to our unsafe driving methods. We pray for the sick this morning. We pray for our elderly. We pray for our youngsters. And Father, we see all the things happening around us in our country, the poor, the needy, the homelessness. We see the destruction in families. Father, keep us humble through your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Right, let's offer our gratitude back to God. Juanita, gaan jy vir ons help? And thank you for what we have to give, for your ministries, your work, the kingdom. Please bless this money. Father, we know that money is the mode of doing things in the world. But please, it's not about ourselves. It is not about building ourselves rostrums, podiums. It's about you and your work. And therefore we pray, Father, may this funds help our congregation to do what we need to do. This we pray in your name. Amen. Thank you, Juanita. We are going to sing and end off and with Nearer My God. We are going to sing three verses. Let's stand and close with this. Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. Amen.